conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
You may give 100%, but I show it.
You can run, but you can't hide from my deep dive.
Oh, you guys, I love a rhyme. Nothing makes me feel better when I'm having a case of the Mondays, and so is most of the Bravo community today. Then hearing a little bit of a rhyme. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 141, and I'm so excited to have a new guest to the People's Couch whose Instagram account I just die for. It is equal parts interesting, funny, fact-based, and we'll get into some fact-based information hopefully soon enough. But guys, welcome to Andy's Girls, Eliza from Face Reality 16 on IG. Eliza, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Oh my God. So am I. It's a little mutual appreciation society. And there we are. So listen, there's so much that's happened in the last couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we should hop to it and discuss some of this stuff. Did you go to BravoCon in 2019?
I did. Yeah.
What was your favorite?
Oh my gosh.
Did you go to the full? Did you go to the full?
So I missed Friday, but I did go to Watch What Happens Live, which that would probably be my highlight. I mean, it was just like such a, you know, so much at once and such a nice way to start it off. But I mean, the Vanderpump party was a great time too. I don't know. It was very overwhelming for me. I didn't expect to be like, have to process it, because I thought I'd just dive in and be like, this is my heaven. But sometimes I was like, I don't know what to do. There's 25 different options. You know, there's so many options. But I tried to just go through it as it came and enjoy it.
I hear you. I do sort of wish that I had been able to do the Dorobics when Dorinda was doing some delightful cardio and old school, some old school 80s ensemble with Andy. But I went to the Orange County panel because I possibly problematically, but stand for Shan. So I like wanted to see her in action. And I thought the Dorinda thing was just going to be like her like leading in something. I didn't realize what it entailed. And when I heard about it, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's not going to happen in the same way again.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it was also a full weekend of FOMO because there was nothing. You had to miss something for the most part.
Yeah.
But for like the evening stuff, like there was always something you're like, I don't know.
I mean, it was.
I'm kind of itching to get back because I have more of an idea of like, okay, this is, you got to really like decide what you're going to do.
Yeah. And I think our community is feeling a little bit of FOMO today. Bravo announced this afternoon that the 2021 BravoCon, which obviously had been rescheduled from, well, 2020 didn't happen. So 2021's BravoCon, which had been scheduled for this coming October, has been postponed until 2022 because of, unfortunately, the Delta variant and the numbers being what they are, both in our country, but also our state. You and I both live in New York, and it is what it is right now. I think for anyone producing any kind of large scale event that really does need to be held indoors. It's not an outside event.
Yeah.
I think really difficult decisions are being made, and I think they made the exact right one. It's disappointing to, I'm sure, all of us, but I really think they made the safest possible decision for an event of that size with thousands and thousands and thousands of attendees.
Yeah. I mean, I think about if I had to decide if I was going or not, that would have been harder because, you know, being like, do I want to go? Especially, yeah, I mean, who knows? October, it could be totally better, but there's even a month from now, we're still like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. So it's kind of nice to have the decision made for us, but it just sucks that it's the way things are right now.
I completely agree. I am very happy that I didn't have to be in the position to make one. And we're saying this as two people who live in this state. You know, BravoCon is obviously scheduled for New York City. And it's like, I can't imagine. I'm sure there are a lot of people that bought, you know, even though tickets hadn't gone on sale, people were buying flights, I'm sure, and hotels. Hopefully all of that is refundable.
Yeah.
And obviously that's a chance that you're taking regardless if you haven't been able to buy a ticket to an event yet. But people wanted to stay on top of this, and understandably so. And so I just, you know, hope that anyone who made any kind of travel arrangement is able to, you know, reschedule hopefully for next year.
It's unfortunate.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's a sad moment. And in some other scheduling related news, the joke in the Bravo world was that I mean, not really a joke, but kind of amazing, was that BravoCon was going to be held over 2 days in October. And then the Monday immediately following was the scheduled start date of Jen Shah's trial, which isn't funny, but that timing is hilarious. And now that's possibly being rescheduled.
Yeah, I saw that. Maybe December or something, pushed back.
Right, a little bit later. And, you know, I guess her legal team just left, aside from, I think, a single attorney. Do you have any info on that?
So from my, I mean, it really probably happened 3 hours ago or so that the news dropped. But from my understanding was her, like, big time lawyers dropped her. And she's left with just, like, the smaller time attorneys, whatever. And I guess in the position she's in, that's very, very bad news for her, because not only that, but her assistant is most likely going to flip and give all the information that he has on her to the prosecutors to lower his sentence, and will most likely make hers worse.
And I think he's a, this could all be wrong, guys. I apologize. I have a spiritual law degree, but I, from what I understand, so he's not going to be a part of the trial. They're going to be able to settle in advance because he is allegedly going to be a huge help in turning, is it called state's evidence? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. But like in, I'm trying to remember Law and Order.
Testimony.
And like things my dad has talked
yeah,
about. Right?
Yeah.
Like he, it's,
words,
Jen's
yeah.
fucked
Same.
Is
yeah.
the TLDR is that she's going to be in a little bit of a pickle. And she had talked on social, I think pretty recently, about her intention to go to BravoCon. So.
Oh yeah. She's living life like this is a traffic ticket is how I see. From what she shows us, it's like, oh, I drove 5 miles over the speed limit and it's no big deal, guys. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, it feels a little bit sometimes like Beverly Hills, which is obviously a prestige show, is also a little bit of a test case for the women in Salt Lake City because, you know, the cast gets to see how we, the community, viewers at large, react to someone giving someone grace, someone needing more information, someone asking for asking questions. And obviously it's a much different situation, but how do you resolve seemingly unresolvable, you know, questions that maybe only one person will ever really know?
Yeah, it's I mean, it's amazing on the side of entertainment. I have to like just shut off that side of my brain that wants to like figure everything out. On the you know, the side that's like, I just want to be entertained, I cannot get enough of it. And I feel like we're just on the cusp of like the Jen Shah, like we've had so much Erica stuff lately, and Jen Shah stuff's kind of like trickling in, and we're not forgetting about it, but that show is about to get into gear, and that's gonna be the next focus of all of us who can't help but read into everything and wonder, okay, what does this mean? And when, look at the timelines and look at this and that. And it's very, I don't know. I learned more about law from between Brittany, Jen Shah, and Erica Girardi, like, than I ever expected to learn. Not that I'm an expert, but I'm getting there.
What would your elevator pitch be of your Instagram page? Like at its heart, what is most interesting to you? What are you fascinated by? What do you like to talk about online and on social most especially?
I mean, so Bravo is definitely where it started, but it's a lot of just like entertainment news. What's the forefront of entertainment news? So I don't follow a ton of it, but like Brittany, Bennifer/Jenjamin,
just like Jenjamin.
And especially nostalgia, because that was the stuff that was like big when I first started going online and looking at entertainment sites, and also just like tabloids. I grew up, my mom was a 3-time-a-week tabloid purchaser, so I was always you know, looking through the People magazine or the. And so it feels like this is kind of an extension of that. I've created my own version of all those things, I think. But Bravo just gives us everything.
When did your Bravo journey begin? What show got you hooked?
I feel like I always watched New York, being in New York, and I remember, you know, one season would end and sometimes I'd be like, I'm not going to watch this one. I don't care. I don't know these people. I don't care about these people. And then slowly but surely it'd be like, you know, they learn how to get you in. Like, they time it just right. So, oh, if you like this show, here's this one. And as far as my page started, my Instagram started 3 years ago, but maybe one or two years earlier, they used to have those social edition shows. I don't know if you remember, like before the new episode aired, they'd do a social edition and they would show tweets and things from fans about the show.
Yes.
So I'd watch that and I'm like, I want to sit, you know, I'd have all these comments that I would think of. And I'm like, I'm never going to get picked for this unless I make up a Twitter. So I started with Twitter and then it turned into Instagram because I started making more like meme and video type things. I just felt like I had to catch up with everything eventually. You know, I had to watch all the shows. And
when it comes to housewives, do you feel like you have a spiritual housewife? This is one of my favorite questions to ask, which isn't necessarily your favorite housewife. It doesn't have to be your favorite, and oftentimes it's not. It's like the housewife that you feel yourself connected to for better or worse. Maybe they make similar choices that you make that you're trying to like work through, or you sort of aspire to respond to situations, dynamics, maybe even conflict in the way that they do, where you just feel like you have a connection with someone.
So like Sonia, I definitely feel connected to, as far as the way she, you know, is loves to be the clown, but at the same time has this like depth and like sadness to her, where,
yeah,
you know, she wants to make people laugh and she wants to be accepted, but at the same time deep down she really doesn't feel those things. And I feel like that would be, I mean, I love her too, but I also, a lot of that I think comes from feeling so like having such a relatable personality to mine. So, and then like, as far as aspiring, you know, it's usually the ones I aspire are the ones that are complete opposites to me, that like can just say anything. And Bethany's not a housewife anymore, but business wise and like,
oh, totally,
and you know, nothing stopped her, nothing got her, you know, obviously things got her down, but she has not slowed down for anyone. And I really admire that. And I don't know if I have as much of that, but I would love to have a little piece of it. Would be helpful. Like, unapologetic, you know.
I completely get that. I mean, the Sonia of it all, it's an interesting time in which to even discuss Sonia, because the most recent episode of New York, which we're recording this Monday night, I literally just watched it today. I had to really procrastinate like a motherfucker. So essentially watched it shortly before we recorded because I just needed to kind of get through it, but I was putting it off. And it felt like, maybe not a classic episode of New York, I certainly wouldn't say that, but it felt like an episode of New York,
yeah,
which is something of an upgrade. What were your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the season so far? And what were your thoughts specifically on the Sonia of it all when it came to, you know, some awkwardness on this week's ep?
Yeah, this week was interesting for Sonia. I was honestly, I had to watch it a couple times because I was like, did she have a threesome? You know, like I didn't catch. I was like, is she saying they did hook up with the girlfriend, or I'm confused? But yeah, I mean, it's so, one thing I realized watch this week, I thought was great. It was ridiculous and like kind of frustrating, but it was amazing. Like, I realized you've got, maybe not Ebony, but these four women who are all, and Ebony too, want to be the star. They think of themselves as a star. So Luann's doing her video. Ramona's thinking she can direct the video. Like, to be in a room with those women during that music video must, as a professional who's trying to do your job, must have been like tested every ounce of patience they have. And I just was imagining that watching today, because I did rewatch too today, and just like, oh man, they're like, okay, yep, thank you. Like, they're really trying to like get everyone out of the way, but there's no such thing as that with, you know, Leah's dogs running in. But yeah, Sonia, I don't know what, I mean, it was funny to me that she was trying to like create this storyline, and that they figured it all out, and it wasn't, and that she could still laugh at herself. I mean, some of the housewives might have been like, screw you, you know, went off. And it's kind of what I love about New York, is that for the most part, they can laugh almost anything off. Like, they rarely get stuck on anything, except their own egos.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But I don't know, just having them being on so long, you've gotten to know who they are, and the things that you might have detested about them in the beginning. Now it's just like, wow, Luann is just, wow, is she Luann?
I mean, the Sonia element, when it came to that threesome moment, it was a tough watch in the sense that it felt like Lou and Ramona were relishing in catching Sonia in a lie related to her alcohol consumption. So like, what an interesting choice for Lou, but it was like the humiliation of it. Like, you can tell that Sonia is sort of maybe misrepresenting what happened, and maybe she's embarrassed, and maybe she wanted the women to think that she slept with this guy, and maybe she did, but possibly she didn't. And watching her kind of stumble to close the door and try to laugh it off. And these women are just like, just being awful to her in that moment. It's like, it's hard when Sonia is the butt of the joke and not actually involved in the joke.
Yeah.
You know, like, Sonia likes to make fun of herself. And sometimes that's maybe to like skip in front of these women in line. And this week was a tough example of what happens when she's not.
Yeah. I mean, all it took was that one little Instagram clip and they figured it all out. But yeah, and it's also the cameras. You know, she wants us to see her as Sonia, the deal closer or whatever. Like, she could get any guy. And it's like, you can get most guys, Sonia. Like, we know you're okay in that situation. And like, turned out to be funny, but, and also, Sonia's doing more of this like standing up for herself, standing in her ground. So maybe in the past she would have laughed it off and said, no, nothing happened, but she's trying to really come off as like stronger and create her own narrative, I guess. And it kind of got screwed up because she got caught in a lie.
Totally. And I feel like the reverse happened in her business meeting, where her partner, who we've been watching for so many years, and then the other person who's there, I don't remember either of their name. I just, their faces are going to be seeped in my memory, because it just once again felt like a really another awkward moment where Sonia partners with these people who are not ideal.
Don't have her best interest. Yeah.
And they just keep telling her she's going to be Martha Stewart. But like, based on what does that even mean?
I know.
We heard that on Potomac. We heard it on New York. And it's like, what does that mean? Does that just mean rich? Does that mean successful? Are you working with people who you think have any of these people actually worked for Martha Stewart? Or are we just looking at her as the celebrity win?
I feel like it's an excuse too to have such a broad market where you're like, you can do anything, clothes, toaster ovens, you're the Martha Stewart. Like, you know, like, put your name on everything. It's like, she got there starting somewhere. So like, anyone who wants to be the next Martha Stewart has to start with the niche and then grow from there. And it seems like, I mean, so unfortunate what happened with Century 21. It's just like, it didn't even affect me financially, but it's so, like, it hurts my heart. Like, of all people, I wanted to, but also her business has its own, like, shady issues with it. Yeah, like where are the clothes coming from? Who's designing them? Are you just putting your name on them? Who knows? But
I mean, even unrelated to the design, it's like, God forbid Century 21 had continued and there would have been a lot of money. It appears unlikely that she would have gotten a lot of that. If they're right. saying that, for example, you know, she should have made $80,000, but lawyers took 60. And apologies if I have those numbers wrong.
That's
but
what they said.
That's an indicator that something is very, very wrong in how they're paying out a consultants, lawyer, something else. It just
like they're taking advantage of her name and her. Yeah. Like, oh, well, totally. We need this and we need that. And no one's really overseeing. Do they really need all those things? And yeah.
Completely. And I think it's unfortunate that, you know, we're watching this dynamic play out where Sonia will partner with anyone who tells her maybe the most positive thing that she would want to hear. And then, mm-hmm. of course, she gets frustrated when it's like, yeah, these people who maybe couldn't deliver still aren't delivering. And yet, and I don't know the terms of her deal with them, but I don't understand why you would want to continue a partnership with someone who is so seemingly disinterested, terrified, uncomfortable, whatever, about showing you the books.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's under her name, I don't think that's a big deal.
No. Or at the very least, you know, Ramona, I don't know if Ramona's the best choice, but have someone close to her, you know, how is it that she's, doesn't have access? That just doesn't make sense to me.
I felt like in terms of the goal of that meeting, I felt like Ramona was actually a really good choice, because Ramona's background and from what we saw in the early seasons of New York with like the, I'm going to fuck up what it was that she did, but like the buying and selling of stock. Right. And her other businesses, but like where she made her money in the fashion world. I mean, I think she can sense bullshit and that's in those terms, and was the right person, I think, to have in the room. Yeah. I would say Ramona or maybe Leah because of Leah's background. But Ramona to me made a lot of sense. It was just, it's just really awkward. Like I don't, it's an unfortunate thing because I think so many of us do want Sonia to be successful, but she just may not be the kind of business person that we want her to be. I mean, that's ultimately how she wound up in this financial mishigas to begin with, the John Travolta deal, because she wanted to be a movie producer and she just ended up being a really bad deal. And maybe our expectations for her are not in line with what she wants, you know?
And that is another layer of her that I really relate to, where you want to do what you think everyone wants you to do instead of what you really want to do, and like clothes or even the cabaret, which I would love to see. But at the same time, are you doing this because you want to do it, or because, and who knows if it's what the validity of that is, but is she doing cabaret just to compete with Lou? And like, you know, like how, it's another example of, you know, what do you really want to do? And whether it's the most profitable thing or not, if you really want to do it, you'll be more successful than if you just try to do what everyone else is doing. And seems like she's stuck
also,
in that.
What happened to the toaster ovens? Didn't she at one point say she had a warehouse? This is like years ago, I think, but she had like a warehouse of toaster ovens. Where did they go?
That's
all
a
of
lot
us
of
would
money.
Buy
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just want her to be okay, but it's so ultimately up to her. It's just unfortunate that the support system that I think she deserves seemingly has so much fun at, you know, exacerbating these things that if you were a friend, I don't know. There's one thing about like making light of a situation or a person's mistake or something, but to gleefully delight in the idea that this person is trying to massage over the truth, which could be the fact that she was like passed out in a stranger's hotel room, and to not let her just get away with saying she stooped a guy. Just like,
yeah,
you know, we've all had those moments. It's like, just let her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, be shady in a confessional. Do we really need to like laugh her down as she tries to quietly close a door? You know, it was kind of a bit of a downer. It was a tough moment, but at least I mean, I don't know that I would call it, I don't know what to call it, but it felt like an episode is all I can say. It felt like it fit an episode model.
I mean,
it was one.
Yeah. Over and over takes of Chris's video, and like, you know, it was also very subliminal where they're like beating that song into your head, because it's in my head now, and I'm you know, I mean, because they went over, did the line over and over, and over, I'm like, okay, this song is now like an earworm. And I mean, yeah, there was a lot of funny parts about it, but it was, yeah, that part was a little hard to watch, like you said.
Yeah. And then, speaking of something that maybe wasn't necessarily hard to watch, but I found, I mean, the exact opposite of hard to watch. I was so fascinated with it. I simply cannot even begin, but here we go. I mean, this week of Beverly Hills, both the show, the after show, it's the second episode of this season's Beverly Hills after show, and the second episode to do a two-parter. So it's 25 minutes of content. Last week was 20 minutes plus. Unbelievable. I mean, Sutton is like a superstar on it, because you can tell she's like, what the actual fuck is going on with Erica? And Garcelle is just like, yes, you be the one to say it. I'm going to nod. How can you give us a little bit of a summary of what happened regarding Lisa Rinna's IG story about the episode? And we can kind of work from there.
Right. So I think it was shortly after the episode aired when she just posted something like, oh, well, they cut out the fight that Erica had with the producer, or the yelling match that Erica had with the producer, but bravo, bravo, fucking bravo. I don't know. It was definitely vague. You know, I'm about to get in trouble, 3, 2, 1 or whatever she said that, but. And then, I mean, afterwards, I was really surprised to see, like, People Magazine report on it and say that they had a source saying that this happened. And because originally I thought maybe she was just joking, like saying, oh, Erica didn't back down like Denise did, was what I, like, that was the vibe I was getting, where she was just saying like, oh, Erica could have said bravo, bravo, fucking bravo, and have a fight with the producer, but she didn't. But then these sources started coming out, and I was like, I don't understand at all. It none of it is making sense to me.
So I completely agree. And I also was like, I had such a different idea of what was happening that then shifted three times over as new information was coming in, which I think best exemplifies the season of Beverly Hills, which is a complete prestige season. But there's so much information that's constantly happening, not only with the legal stuff, but just cast reactions and everything else. It's a little bit of a, I don't know, like a hailstorm, honestly, sometimes, of updates. So it can be hard to kind of figure out, wait, what is the difference between these two? So Lisa Rinna on IG Stories posted an IG story that was her own little Kim K Snapchat moment, where we knew she would disappear it soon enough. But so she posted on IG Stories, dang it, I wish they had shown the screaming fight between the producer and Erica last night on the show in, I don't know how to pronounce it.
La Quinta.
Yeah. Oh my God, guys! I'm so sorry. I took French. I'm a nightmare. I'm so sorry. And then it continues. Now that would have been epic TV. Too bad. Bravo, bravo, fucking bravo. I'll get in trouble for this in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, with a little like winky, laughy emoji. And I was immediately like, oh my God, this doesn't make any sense. But it seemed to me like, is she trying to do something modestly shady toward Erica? Because obviously an idea of a screaming fight between a producer and Erica doesn't look great for Erica, except Erica shortly thereafter then reposted it. And then page six, this is like the true C-SPAN edition of Andy Scrolls. Then an insider exclusively told page six that, in fact, the point of the post was to poke a little bit at production, which is also where Erica Jane's anger at Garcelle was actually directed, that Garcelle was an unfortunate surrogate, an unwilling one, but a surrogate through which Erica was channeling her anger. And so this piece goes on and says that Erica felt like she was betrayed by producers, that she felt like they took audio and cut and pasted it, cut and pasted it in a way that was manipulative, and that she felt upset that Garcelle was told what to say three times about bringing up the phone call and took the bait. She's the article, which was obviously leaked by literally her or Layla, yeah, or maybe the dog. They had three different conversations about the same subject. What they didn't show is that Erica and Crystal had a private conversation where no cameras were on. Producers heard it via their mics. When they got in the car, producers said they overheard it and asked Crystal to ask Erica on camera. Bravo didn't want to do the fourth wall and pulled a quote unquote fast one. And that Garcelle, as we know, was never actually part of the conversation. And that's why footage of the women walking was shown with the voiceover. And then someone else close to production, probably someone inside of production, said that Erica's reaction to Garcelle was genuine. Anyway, it's incredibly confusing about which audio was taken, and was the audio of them walking back to the car real, and then it was just so happened that they didn't use the audio of Erica saying don't tell anybody about this and Garcelle wasn't there. It's all a mess. My question to you is, why do you think Erica, aside from the betrayal, reacted to this being brought up in her circle of friends in the way that she did?
So confusing to me why, yeah, she would, if the fact that Tom calls her every day, which is really sad, is such a, you know, deep dark secret, why is she telling to Crystal, who she just met recently, versus Kyle and Lisa and Dorit? Or has she told them and they understand not to say that or talk about it? But Crystal and Garcelle are more likely to be like, well, so wait, you do talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, it almost seems the way Lisa was sitting there with her head down next, mm-hmm, to her didn't seem like this was new information to Lisa. It seemed like she's known this and there was an agreement not to talk about it. Kyle seemed more surprised that it was being brought up than that it was a fact to me. I don't know. That would be my only explanation. Because they're so close, it doesn't make sense that they wouldn't know. It wasn't that they found out, it was that the cameras were getting all these times that she's saying it in different ways. But I think she's mad because it's easier to get caught in a lie when you're getting asked the same question three times in a row. That's why I think she's mad, to be honest, because you get asked once, you can make something up. You get asked twice, you have to keep up with your story. And then three times, and now you have to, now you're mad because you have to keep your story straight. And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from that, is like, maybe she did talk to him, even though she said she didn't. And that could screw up something in the courts. I just went all over the place.
No, I love that. You're in the right. No, you're in the right spot. Trust me. Welcome to Andy's Girls. I think that I don't know that her friends knew. Okay. I think that was part of the tension. Why I really don't. Rinna maybe is removed from this because they are the closest seemingly of any of Erica's other friends in that cast. But I don't actually know that Rinna knew. And it felt like a muddier addition to an already dirty explanation and narrative about what is going on with her relationship with Tom. And to go from what she said, I don't know, 24 hours earlier or whenever, about he's cheating, he's awful, he's cruel, which can all be true. And what she said on the mountain hilltop, whatever, he doesn't know where he is, he's completely altered, he begins conversations the same way over and over again. All of that can be true, but when you're also saying that he's calling and leaving messages saying he wants you to come back, and you're already presenting to us this updated narrative that like Tom is very cold, and you're dealing with some friendship whiplash of these women being like, wait, what? Like, what was the actual nature of your marriage? And also, you don't know how to use a debit card and you've never been to a bank. Like, it's all a lot of, it's all in such enormous conflict to the kind of person that they thought she was or would be in a relationship, that adding this latest wrinkle is like, wait, what is actually going on? And why doesn't she want her friends to know? Why would she tell that to Garcelle and Crystal specifically, who are the least close to her, just because of simply not having been on the show as long? Is that why you were felt safer in that moment to share? Like, what? There was an obvious strategic reason why she didn't tell her friends. But what was it? Because that's a total separate thing from production wanting it to be spoken about on camera. I get her frustration about it, but I truly do not understand why she didn't want her friends to know. And I also really appreciated Dorit, who kind of like fucked the landing at the end of the episode, but during a confessional was like, why doesn't Erica trust me? I mean, that would be my question if I was a friend of hers. Why doesn't my friend trust me? And every single time she shares information, it's brand new. Diametric opposition of what she had just said, which doesn't mean she's lying, but it's like, why are you being this withholding?
Yeah. But really, Hills is so frustrating because it's taken this long. It's taken this level of a scandal to finally be talked about. There's been so many scandals that have never been talked about on this show, but this one cannot be avoided for obvious reasons. I mean, if they avoided it, it would be done. It's too massive, but it's a massive, massive scandal. I mean, and so for example, for Dorit to say, you know, instead of, why didn't you tell us that he calls you? She says to Garcelle, why would you bring that up? You know, it's like, what, why are we going in this direction? I don't know if that's just her, like,
trying to help her
that's
friend.
Just with her. But I mean, it's also like, is that just her angle on the show, is to like question, you know, the low hanging fruit is Erica. Obviously there's so much going on, so go for the less low hanging fruit and say, well, why are you questioning her? I don't know. It's just, it's so confusing, but it's always been that way. They've always kind of like gotten mad at LVP for sharing that Dorit gave up a dog instead of getting mad at Dorit for giving up a dog. Or, you know, like the actual evil act has been not as bad as talking about the evil act. That's just how it is. And that's kind of Hollywood. I mean, in general, if you look at, it's changing, but as far as, you know, in a broader sense, it's point the finger at the right person that will keep you in the right position. I don't know.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, in the scenes for next week, we see this move that Sutton's making, or even this conversation that Sutton's making, that is so shocking and that I'm in full support of, just even in having the conversation of like, I don't know if I want to film with this person.
Right.
And who knows if she's speaking informally that she's saying this is something that I'm considering, or she's just saying it out loud. But it is something that I think a lot of people have questions about when it comes to who is going to speak up for the voice of the audience. So often the Greek chorus is so important, and it's like, who's doing that right now in Beverly Hills? I think people are doing aspects of it, but I don't know that there's one voice that's speaking on behalf of the audience. And I think the person who's going to do it best when it comes to really trying to rebut some of what we're hearing a little bit about the Eric of it all is Sutton. And I think that that's a really important role that will come at great cost to her when Erica finds out. But in the meantime, it's like, well, at least we have somebody who's pushing back on this, because there's so much, there's so many questions about the life that we thought we understood for so many years being based on fraud, that it was a lie. Even the idea, and there might be good reason for this, but even the idea of how she discussed her relationship, it doesn't mean that, it just sounds like a very tough, difficult relationship. And when it comes to trying to figure out why she's not talking about the fact that he calls her, I don't know how much of her explosion is being mad at production, which I agree with, and also just mad that she constantly has to clean up, whether it's after her husband or after her own narrative about her husband, which doesn't mean that she was lying, but she is withholding, you know, like at best she's withholding. And it would be helpful to see some people who thought they were good friends with her, like a little bit more of the Dorit confessional. And obviously we're going to get more of this Sutton rebuttal of like the, it's actually not okay what's happening right now. And the level of involvement of just even being witness to this and not being able to push back is just not enough.
Right. And also hearing, also wanting to understand and hearing a story that never adds up. I mean, how do you, what story do you believe if there's more than one that aren't the same? It's just, I feel like that's really what Sutton's doing, is just kind of adding up the contradictions and being like, well, you said this and then you said this, and so which one is it? And from some of the previews, you can see Erica getting pretty angry pretty quickly. I mean, obviously they're previews, we don't know, but usually that's a sign that someone would rather not answer to, you know, their own contradictions, and just want you, they just want you to just gloss over it and get over it and not ask questions.
And speaking of, I do have a question for you about the Erica of it all. But first, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to the sponsor of this week's episode. The new podcast, Jeff Lewis Has Issues. Did you watch Flipping Out, by the way?
I've watched some of it. Yeah, I think I watched up the more recent episodes.
Prestige. It's Prestige. Yes. It's like very, very, very good escapist TV. Highly recommend. And as some of us may know, Jeff Lewis from the hit Bravo series Flipping Out in his Sirius XM radio show, Jeff Lewis Live, Jeff is now bringing all of us a brand new podcast we think you'll love called Jeff Lewis Has Issues. Sidebar, I am so excited about this because I don't know why in my head I feel it somehow connected with a top tier prestige season of Shaw's so far, but it feels like Shaw's is having like a little bit of a throwback, like classic season. And it makes me yearn a little bit for some of the classic Bravo shows that are outside of the Housewives mm-hmm. world. And I yeah. put Jeff Lewis into that bucket. So mm-hmm. I'm so excited about, right? I'm so excited about his new pod, whether it's drama with family and friends to parenting or relationships. There's no denying Jeff Lewis has issues. Jeff is joined each week by friends, experts, and celebs, from Tamra Judge and Jackie Schimmel to Judge Lauren Lake, Patty Stanger, and others, as they take a no-holds-barred deep dive into every detail of Jeff's life. Come for the laughs and leave feeling so much better about your own life. Thank you so much for that, Jeff. Check out Jeff Lewis Has Issues. You can subscribe now on Stitcher, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Like, you know, the one you're listening to now. So thank you so much, Jeff Lewis Has Issues. Speaking of issues, when it comes to questions surrounding Erica, I have just a foundational question, which I think is really unfair of me to ask, but here we go.
Do it.
Noting that this is happening on reality TV and the women on Beverly Hills are archetypes especially, how do we feel about the ways that Erica lashes out at friends when she is like at the brink, if not beyond? We saw it with Eileen. We're seeing it with Garcelle. We're going to see it with Sutton. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it happened another time and I can't think of it right now. I guess Dorit and PK, but I feel like that was kind of like deserved. #PantyGate. But how do you feel about the ways that Erica expresses anger, which is typically aimed directly at someone as a little bit of a missile?
I mean, now that we know what we know as far as what she's talking about, and what do we know is true? We don't, but we can kind of assume that her marriage was basically loveless. I mean, maybe there was some love early on, but it became very, and her job was to create an illusion that it was amazing and everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of pressure on someone. So I can see how, you know, she kind of carries it all until she can't. And then something just knocks her off her feet. And her response is, I like to call it the wounded animal response, where, you know, someone might be just trying to help you, but you're a wounded person and you just kind of, you know, out of defense think that you need to defend yourself when really you don't, and this person's maybe not trying to help you but just trying, like Eileen, that was completely, there was no malintent there, and she just became this, you know, she just lost it, and you just, it feels like someone who holds it together so long for so many, you know, for so many different things, and then it gets too heavy eventually and she drops it and comes out as anger, but she's not anger at, you know, it's misdirected anger, of course. It's, you know, not at her. Seems like it was probably more directed towards the fact that she has to put on this facade.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think the wounded animal analogy is really smart. I mean, there's like a viciousness that can come out of her, but it's coming from a place of like anxiety, laced with, with pain. And obviously it doesn't make it okay, but it is a little bit of an explainer into how she's processing this stuff. It's like she's waiting to be attacked. Mm-hmm. So she wants to be the first and loudest to attack back. The problem though, is that she's either aiming incorrectly or she's incapable of processing what's actually happening because the level of defensiveness is so high. And that leads to these moments. I mean, like, I don't know how I would react. And obviously I haven't been in the exact environment as this one, not only having it being filmed for reality TV, but just the stakes being astronomically high in Erica's position and in her life right now. But I think Garcelle handled it in a way that was so much more graceful. Obviously, feeling a lot of hurt, and I'm sure I would feel betrayed if I was Garcelle and somebody was coming at me like that when you had the opposite intention. But I don't know, if I was in her shoes, I don't know that I would have taken it the way that she was able to. It shows a level of just absolute maturity that that Garcelle has that I maybe don't. And by maybe, same. I mean almost definitely. Yeah. Of like, I would, you know, if Erica was barking at me, I would bark back, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. And who knows what I would do in that situation. But, and I mean that in the most not ideal way possible, but I don't want anyone speaking to me in the tone that she did. And I don't know, my personality type is typically to take it and de-escalate, but I don't know. With Erica, I just don't know how I would have responded.
Currently, you know, on my page, I've been collecting all sorts of ammo. So I feel like if she had come at me like that, it would be hard not to be like, you know, well, what about X, Y, and Z? If it was a close friend, not that Garcelle and her are close, but they're closer than, you know, I understand why she got upset. I might have, with a close friend, been really quick to just say sorry and back down. So Garcelle really did a great job of the middle ground of not reacting, but also not backing down. And she didn't just grovel and apologize and say, oh, I, you know, cause she knew from what it looked like that she didn't do anything wrong. And I don't think she did anything wrong. From what we saw, they're trying to make it sound like producers were, you know, that she did do something wrong, but it seemed like she was very confident that all she was doing was saying something about, you know, a personal thing that she shared that she thought her close friends would like to hear as well and chime in. And that was it.
Yeah. And if my friend was telling me a month ago or whenever it was that my husband never cheated and never would and was saying it so directly and so explicitly, and now a month later it's like, well, of course he was cheating, of course, why would you think anything else? And maybe he even had a family in this house that I didn't know existed. And it's like, I would just honestly feel such whiplash. And then to have that person lash out at me, and it's like, sweetie, of the two of us, also noting the chaos you've brought into this season because of this situation, regardless of your involvement in it, like, I get why you're lashing out, but also, my God, take a single second and breathe.
Right. And Garcelle absolutely could have brought up a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. I don't, they're all showing so much self-control, and it's confusing to me because I'm like, you know, bring up this and bring up that, but I guess it's kind of a fine line because they don't want her to just stop filming and pull, you know, they yeah, need her so there. So it's like, maybe they've been instructed to be a certain level of direct without pushing it to the point of she's done and then we don't get anything. So
I mean, I also just think there's so much shock, too.
Right.
This is like your friend, and friendship is obviously defined in a variety of different ways. Obviously, it's going to be a different kind of definition when you're filming on a reality TV show, which is both personal and professional and all about the mirage. And I think that they're doing their best to try to protect her and try to figure out a way to navigate it, because it's just all so negative. Like, if your franchise is all about diamonds and rosé and what's lurking underneath, and you have this shitstorm that's like blowing up your season, I'm sure you want to protect and defend your friend and also figure out a way to navigate this, because it's tricky territory to try to understand on the best of our days, or at least mine, and throw a camera crew in there. And it's like, okay, so now I have to try to figure out how to react to this in front of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, when it comes to, you know, who's reading coverage about it. It's a lot. I mean, there's pressure. I see it online. There's pressure and criticism on all of them at all times. And some of that is deserved, and some of it's coming from an understanding place. It's coming out of frustration and anger on behalf of the actual, and by actual I mean like the burn victims, people whose families have died, the people whose lives have been upended and ruined to pay for who knows a Cartier ring. I mean it's a difficult navigation, but also this is, it's a show about Erica's life, you know, several others, but Erica as well. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's so tricky.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think back to what Dorit said, like as a friend, it would be really hard to swallow knowing that you have been close with someone for however many years, and now you're just learning a lot of things that you never knew about them. But there's probably a lot more sympathy there, you know, mm-hmm. as far as, oh, wow, this was really tough for you. And this was, I can see how they're giving her the benefit of the doubt. And not looking at it as much as like from a detective's view, like maybe mm-hmm. all of us on Instagram are trying to do, and more just like empathy and understanding that it's incredibly complicated and difficult. And yeah, hope, I mean, I'm sure they're all hoping that she was not complicit, and that she, because then that means they're friends with someone who would do all those things. So it's that side of it too.
Totally. I mean, there could be some guilt or embarrassment, and also the idea that regardless of her complicity, she benefited from this. It's like not even a question of did she benefit. It's a question of is she going, when/is she going to acknowledge that she benefited off of his crimes in whatever way you can do legal. I mean, like that's a navigation that is probably among the most difficult to ponder for Erica. So we'll do it on her behalf, because legally I could understand why she's like not going to, would never go near it, or at least not until, you know, someone's released the book. You know, a la Teresa. But I just think, you know, it's a really difficult, complicated, nuanced situation. And anyone that says they know exactly the answer and exactly what they would have done, to me, I think that's really great. And I think, you know, let's see how that works out when you go on a reality TV show. I think that that's so, I think this is, it's difficult enough to film this kind of show. It's like with these dynamics, I don't, it's choose your own adventure to hell a little bit with this, because there's no way to win when it comes to her contemporaries, let alone for herself. I'm less concerned with Erica winning than just trying to understand a little bit more, which is why I really appreciated that Dorit confessional, because I was like, it's so reminiscent of the moment with during Puppygate. Sorry, guys, trigger warning, Puppygate, but during the Puppygate reunion, when Teddy's saying some shit or whatever, and, you know, Dorit's response is something along the lines of like, it's not that you didn't want to embarrass me, you just didn't want to be the only one to embarrass me. And it felt like Dorit in that confessional was bringing up yet another good kind of yet another criticism of someone else, this time Erica, not Teddy. But it really felt very true, which is something that I don't know that we're going to see at the reunion. These women don't really want to get too close to the fire with Erica. Otherwise, they'll get burned. But there is the question of, like, what did friendship look to you? You know, like, regardless from a very complicated situation with Tom, just even as stuff is coming out, I can't get... there's so many questions, and it's just like, who was this person that I was friends with? Because they're expecting me to understand exactly why they did these things, but I don't even understand what the thing is yet. You know?
And they're learning new things every day about the marriage and the truth of it all. So it's, yeah, it's almost like they have to kind of just be like neutrally supportive for no reason at all. Because, you know, I don't know, because the story is changing so much. How do you, you can't be conditionally supportive if the story is changing, because your support can't depend on a certain fact when those facts are changing so often. But you brought up Teresa, and that made me, you know, you think about when all that was going on, there was really not the level of social media, you know, picking apart. And it was obviously big in tabloids, but this is another level where you have people just digging and digging and digging. And I don't know if that made her more able to redeem her reputation, or, you know, I don't know, because we didn't really live it the same way. Just the comparison, it's hard to compare, because a lot of people are saying, like, Jen Shaw's kind of thinking she can come out of this like Teresa, or I don't know if that's actually been said by her, but actually it did. Wasn't there a tweet? I think there is a tweet.
Probably. Who even knows?
But yeah, just like, you can't compare the two, because, or the three, whatever, because that was just a totally different time, and a different, yeah, totally different crime too. But there's another rhyme for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love a rhyming. I think the Jen Shaw thing is interesting, the sitch of it all, because I think Jen Shaw's after in her head looks a lot like Erica Jane's before. Mm-hmm. You know, where she's like, all the money, all the glam. Don't worry about the fact that there are indictments pending, and now I'm going to go to trial, and now I'm looking at maybe 6 years, and now my assistant, Stu Chains, is turning against me. Sidebar, as well he should. My God, this is like no joke.
Yeah.
Very serious shit. But it truly does not look good for her, and yet she's pretending that literally everything is fine, but also sign up for her GoFundMe. So yeah. I don't, I mean, I don't, it's, she is in a different, I feel like an entirely different arena from a ego personality perspective that I don't even think Erica is in.
Right.
It's going to be a wild ass watch. Like, the press alone, especially if she's lost those high-powered, pricey attorneys.
Yeah.
I don't know who's advising her. Who the fuck knows who's advising Erica?
Mm-hmm.
My God. Is there not strategic crisis PR people available on Craigslist? Like, could we not, like, could we not get a little bit of a discount?
Something? Yeah. For real?
My God. Get one of Sonia's interns and just put them to work. Mm-hmm. Seriously. But it's going to be wild to watch it play out. I mean, you also had something on social about the moment where Erica is on the hilltop talking about Tom's brain injury and her thoughts, her hypothesis that his altered state and approaching dementia, or I don't want to diagnose him, but whatever the physical condition was, exacerbated, or actually not even exacerbated, but created the problem of him maybe purloining funds. And you pointed to, because she was saying like as of the last couple years, but you were pretty quickly able to fact check that and say, actually, these lawsuits alleging misappropriation began many, many years prior to the last 3 to 4. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the first one was like 1983. And who knows, like, every lot, you know.
10 years before I was born, maybe 13. Yeah, just kidding.
The lawsuits could be, you know, they're not all legit. You know, obviously they come from every angle. But, I mean, there's probably 50 of them from the 80s on, and they got really, there was a lot of them the couple of years after he married Erica, which I thought was an interesting point. But, and the whole fact that he's been whining and dining the people in the bar and you know, throwing huge parties for them, and they've admitted that everything was handled incorrectly, which is probably a gross understatement, but
yeah,
just knowing, like, okay, so even though he got away with, you know, even though he came out on top of these lawsuits, was that legitimate or was that because he had connections that, I mean, it's pretty clear that he had connections all the way to the top. The chief of police that he was close with in that one episode that's been brought up a few times. How do you drive off a cliff and it's not a police report? You know, did you drive off a cliff? Mm-hmm. That's like, there's just so mm-hmm. many questions. Like, if he did drive off a cliff, why wasn't it reported? And okay, because you had connections or it didn't happen. So if one or the other, neither one looks great. So yeah, it's the kind of stuff that you sound crazy if you talk about until it's proven, because it's like mm-hmm. so wild. Like, oh, the state bar was giving him passes. That sounds ridiculous. They would never do that. But it's coming out
guess
now that
they did.
Coming out yeah. now that they did, and it makes it hard to believe really anything. But yeah, so
it was. I mean, it's yeah.
It was almost like when his brain, you know, when he had his traumatic brain injury, he almost. It sounds more like he was no longer as good at keeping up with the lies. And, you know, and then maybe that's when things started to fall apart is more what I'm seeing.
That is such a good point. That is such a good point. I think that could be absolutely spot on. That's why it all went to shit. Not mm-hmm. because he was behaving erratically, but maybe he was behaving erratically and it just didn't help. It wasn't as good at protecting mm-hmm. him from what was really going to yeah. happen regardless, you know, like crimes be crimin' is my new favorite phrase, and he was very good at it before, and it just left him not incapacitated but altered enough mm-hmm. for other people to really begin to prove what so many people had been shouting from the rooftops for many yeah. years.
Yeah, the crack got bigger. And yeah,
I do need to shout out a friend of ours, Kiki, also known as the Talk of Shame, who put up, I think, a TikTok, but also like a reel. Technology is hard. But she actually drove this past weekend to experience the switchback behind Tom's house.
So amazing.
It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. My God, talk about investigative journalism at its finest. And it was actually very scary because there were an array of cliffs and like things to drive off. And it looked fucking scary. Mm-hmm. And if you are, regardless of how many years that you live there, but even maybe especially 30 plus and you feel very comfortable with these mm-hmm. things, but maybe you're not, you know, clocks ticking a little bit and mm-hmm. then, you know, like you're not driving, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. At full speed there, you're just kind of like meandering around the neighborhood, you make one wrong turn mm-hmm. and it is a scary space. So when it comes to that, he drove off a cliff. I yeah. know how wild that is, but like seeing the video of them driving, obviously very responsibly, but just like around that area, mm-hmm. I highly encourage people to watch it because I was like shooketh. Yeah, I'm, and also as like I live in New York City because nobody wants me operating behind. Yep. Like Tom on his worst day is like was my goal in driver's ed. But like I'm from Rhode Island, we're used to roads. So to see what the hell is happening in Los Angeles, let alone wherever the fuck they live, is mm-hmm. like at Girardi Central is, I was like, what the hell? How do people even the few times that I've been to LA when people mm-hmm. drive through like the Hollywood Hills or whatever, I'm like, yeah. this is illegal. This yeah. is not good.
Terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Listen, I feel like this is like a more to come. Guys, I'm going to talk more about Potomac on Patreon and what an episode that was. My fucking Lord. But I love talking about the Erica of it all because I feel like it's so interesting. And it's mm-hmm. great to hear your perspective both about Erica and Tom and Sonia Rita.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And so much more. Can you tell the people how to follow you on social and what they can look forward to? Some upcoming yada yada?
Sure. I'm on Instagram as SpaceReality16 and also on Twitter as SpaceReality16. And yeah, I mainly just make memes about housewife situations and relatable content. And I'll do a deep dive every now and then. Also, free Britney, of course, all the way.
Hashtag free Britney.
Yeah, free Britney. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Love that. And guys, while you're on social following Face Reality 16, give me a little follow at Dame Galley. Let me know your thoughts and feels. Hello. Send me your satchels. Patreon.com, the number one best way to support the pod with exclusive bonus episodes, invites to special events, and more. You can find that at patreon.com/AndysGirls. And let me know your thoughts and feels about the upcoming episodes of New York Beverly Hills and your thoughts on Potomac before I record the next AG. You guys know I love some satchels of gold and I love to hear from you. And Eliza, thank you so much for coming on AG, your first time. How do you feel?
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you so much. I love the psychological breakdown of Housewives. That's my favorite.
Amen. The examination of it all. Guys, I hope you are staying safe and staying sane, getting vaccinated if you can, so that we can have BravoCon 2022. Please. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.